The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're just winding down this year. Incredible. Starting for long, we'll be in 2016. Who knows what 2016 is going to bring? We know the turmoil that's in the world, but we also know the peace we have in our God.
Amen.
And the comfort that we have.
Thank you, God.
I just keep hearing, I've heard this for quite some time, God just keeps saying, trust me, trust me. When you see the things going on, you see the turmoil, horrible situations are going on like in Paris and all over. ISIS and ISIL and all the terrorism, and there's so much persecution going on of people, of believers in Jesus Christ. Most of that is not even being reported on. Brother Leland told me that he knows some men who were in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he said that the military actually told these people that if they saw a Muslim being persecuted for some reason, that they were to intervene. But if they were Christians, they were to stay out of it. Can you believe that? That's our military, our people. This craziness that's going on in our world. But our God is still on the throne.
Yes.
Our God is alive. Our God is moving. And I just want to encourage you this morning, be strong and be faithful. No matter what comes your way, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on His. He's going to direct your path.
Yes.
I want to talk to you today about faith. Faith. And how we can build our faith. How we can grow in faith. The kinds of faith that Jesus talked about in the Bible. Because He talked about different levels of faith. Faith is quantitative. Whether we realize it or not, there are levels of faith in the body of Christ. Some people have more faith than others. Now, this is not to condemn anybody. I'm just telling you, there are different levels of faith sitting in this room. Some people have faith to believe for mountains being moved. That's my message this morning. Mountain moving faith. Some people have faith for that. Some may not be at that level right now. That's not a condemnation. That's just a realization that I want you to understand that faith is something that grows inside of us. And there are ways for us to grow that faith. But I just want to talk a little bit this morning about faith and what Jesus said about faith and how we can become stronger in our faith and what it means to have mountain-moving faith, great faith, faith, little faith. You know, these are things, all these are things that we can find in the Scripture that Jesus talked about. And how about those who are faithless, unbelieving? That's there too. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 21, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and it shall be removed." It'll be done. It shall be done if you have faith. Now, this is a tough issue in the body of Christ today. Because in order to please God, the Word of God says that we must have faith in Him and believe that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We're diligently chasing after Him. So faith is a very important part of being a believer in Jesus Christ. But sometimes we just, you know, we don't know what we need to do to grow our faith. Sometimes as new believers in Jesus Christ, we don't have a complete understanding of what God's desire for us to have faith in Him. But it's important that we just recognize that we take the knowledge that we have and apply it and let God sort it all out for us as we continue to grow and become stronger. A grandfather came in and saw his granddaughter. She was knelt down as if she was praying, and she was reciting the alphabet. And he said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm praying, Grandpa. I don't know all the words to pray, so I just recite the alphabet, all the letters, and let God sort it out because He knows my heart." God can sort it out sometimes. You know, we may not be walking in as much faith as it takes to move a mountain, but if we will walk in the faith that we have, God will meet us there. Because He knows our heart. He knows our desire. Matthew, that's right. Matthew 18:4 says, "Whoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven." So as we look at this, I just want you to understand that according to the Scripture, there are levels of faith, and it's quantitative, and you can gain in your faith. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think of himself more haughty than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God dealt to each one a measure of faith." Every person sitting in here has at least a measure of faith. A portion of faith, that's what it's saying. You have faith. You have some faith. Now what are you going to do with that? That's where it's at. What are we going to do with that faith? Sometimes we get in situations where we just wonder if God is real. If He's going to show up or not. I've got a new brother in Christ here, that friend that I just met not too long ago. And he was telling me that he's a truck driver. And he was driving along. He was in one of those times. You know, we've all been there. Questioning God. "Where are you, God? Why don't you show up? Prove yourself to me, God." You know, we've all been there. And as he's driving along, he looked up and he saw a plane in the distance. And he noticed that it looked like it was smoke coming out of it. It was one of those planes that Skyriders, you know, where they do Just Married and all those kind of things. And he saw this thing. Now remember, he was seeking God. He asked God to show himself to him. And it looked like a J up there. Well, he thought, well, they're going to write Just Married. And before long, J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, in the sky. When he was thinking, "Where are you, God?"
Yes.
And the whole thing said, "Jesus loves you."
Yes.
Now, I want you to understand something. I may not have all the details right on this story, because he just told me one time. But if you want to know the full story, you can talk to Michael sitting right back there, because he's the guy I'm talking about. He's got pictures. He said, "I could show you." Hallelujah. God is good. When we cry out to Him, He shows up. And if it's nothing more than somebody skywriting, I wonder what that pilot was thinking when he was writing this. You know, he had no idea that Michael was down there. And and hundreds of other people that needed to see that and how it touched their life. My God, He hears and He wants to answer. And when we just have that enough faith to say, "God, I know You are, just show up and make Yourself real to me." He'll do whatever it takes. He'll touch a pilot that sometime down the, a few days before got the idea in his head to go put Jesus in the sky. Jesus loves you. And then when he does it, it all comes together because God had a plan to speak to you. That's, we may not all have mountain-moving faith. But if we take that little bit of faith and we cry out to God, he will show up.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. No doubt about it. Whew, a measure of faith. An instrument for measuring is what that Greek word means. When God gives you a measure of faith, he gives you a portion of faith. He gives you enough faith that you can receive Christ as your personal Savior. And then you're going to build on that faith from there. You're supposed to grow in your faith because Jesus said that faith is like a mustard seed. Amen? Is absolutely necessary for Christians to have put their faith in Almighty God. Because the Word says it's impossible to please Him unless we do that. But I want you to understand something. There are vast numbers of believers that have put their faith in God, but then they don't believe that God is capable of doing miracles today. There are whole denominations that teach that miracles have been done away with, healing is no longer a part of the body of Christ, that things do not happen today like they happened in the New Testament writings because the apostles all died away. Come on. Did God love those apostles more than he loves us? The Word tells us no. He's no respecter of persons. He tells us that he loves you just as much, that he wants to meet your needs. He wants to perform miracles in your life. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants to set free today in this time.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He's alive.
Yes.
And he's moving. And he wants to move on your behalf. Can we stir our faith this morning to believe that God's going to do some mighty things in their future for us, or even today that he's going to move? I believe so. I believe we can come to that place. You know, I was thinking about this and thinking about people who just don't believe, really believe. They believe there's a God, and some believe that Jesus came for salvation, but they're not able to believe beyond that, that God's able to do things. And I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, I think Bette Midler sang a theme song for those people a few years ago. This is way back. I'm dating myself. This is back in the 90s. She sang that song, God is Watching Us from a Distance. You remember that? Some of you do. That God was watching from a distance, and he's a distant God. He cares, but he's just unable to come and meet our needs. That's not my God. My God is here. My God is here. He lives in me. He moves in me. Wherever I go, he is with me. Whatever I do, he is there doing it. Watch what you do. Whatever I say, he hears it and he understands exactly what I say and my meaning behind it. Sometimes I don't necessarily say what I mean, but God knows the intent of my heart. Watch what you say. God, our God, is here with us today. This is incredible. The Creator of all things is right here in this place. And we're all carrying him around with us. Oh, man. But even more than that, not just carrying him around, he is manifesting himself. I believe he manifests himself this morning in our worship. Hallelujah. He's manifesting himself every day as we go through this life. Will you allow him to grow in you so much that your faith will cause you to move mountains? That's what we want. We want a church full of mountain-moving believers. And wherever you are today, you can grow to that point. Absolutely. Hallelujah. All right. I'm going to try to get into this. Remember this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. We're going to look at four levels of faith. Actually, the first one's not a level of faith at all. It's unbelief. It's faithlessness. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew. It's a New Testament, isn't it? Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 53. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? This is not the carpenter's son. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We must realize, I know we serve a sovereign God. He is capable of showing up right now in this place. We couldn't stand it if he did. But he's very capable. However, he chooses to live inside of us through his Son and to use individuals to minister and meet the needs of people in this world, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do miracles. Listen, even Jesus was hindered because of unbelief. We've got to get over this unbelief in the body of Christ. We've got to move beyond unbelief because unbelief is hindering the body of Christ from receiving the power of God in this time. If there's anything that's stopping miracles, if there's anything stopping deliverance, if there's anything stopping the power of God from healing and mending marriages, it's unbelief.
Yes, sir.
It's not God, because he's willing, he's able, he's ready.
Yes.
Jesus was in the midst of these people. He was walking around with them. They even knew. They made mention of the fact that how could he do all these mighty works? They had heard. And yet, when he was there in his own hometown, they refused to believe. Unbelief is crippling the body of Christ today. It's keeping us. And I'm not trying to stand up here and tell you that, man, I'm a giant of the faith. I'm just saying, we've all got to get to the place where we are walking in faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's our problem. Those people, they looked at Jesus and they said, "We know you. We know your family. Who are you?" And they couldn't believe beyond the fact of what they saw. Today, we are hindered by what we're seeing. We've got to get over this. We've got to move beyond it. We've got to move into an area where we have faith in God no matter what it is that we see happening. That we trust in our God. Unbelief was the first thing that Jesus talked about. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief." Now, he was talking about casting out a demonic force. "I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Move from here and there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So he made it first perfectly clear that if we could believe, we would receive. And in fact, let's turn to that real quick. It's just over 17, chapter 17. We'll read it. Verse 14, and when they had come to a multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him, saying, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire, often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. These were men who walked with Jesus, and yet they didn't have. They had been sent out to cast out the demons. And yet, at this situation, they could not do it. And Jesus tells them why. Then Jesus said to them, O faithless and perverse generation. Can you imagine having Jesus say that to you? Oh, you faithless dog. Perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And his disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said to them, here it is, because of your unbelief. For surely I say to you, if you have faith of the mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove from here and there, and it will remove. And nothing will be impossible. Nothing is impossible when we can believe. There's two different words that Jesus used here. The first one is faithless, unfaithful. Not to be trusted. He said to his disciples, you're not to be trusted. You're not to be trusted with the spiritual things that I have been teaching you, because you won't walk in them. You're without faith. And then he used the word unbelief, or the Greek word that means a want of faith, a weakness of faith. So they had weakness of faith here. And Jesus spoke to them and said, listen, you could do this if you could just believe. If you just had the faith to believe, you could cast this out. We've got to have that faith in God, first of all. Trust Him. The first thing is to believe that God wants it to happen for you. See, maybe that's part of our problem. We get this idea that when we need a healing, we need deliverance, we need something in our life, we need a financial miracle, maybe it's not God's will. Nonsense! Jesus said it's the enemy that it brings sickness. It's the enemy that brings poverty. It's the enemy that brings destruction. He comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that you might have an abundant life, more than enough. Yeah. You see, we got to get over what we've been taught in this world and start believing what the Word of God teaches. But we got to trust God. Man, I read a story this week about a pastor who was a chaplain at a hospital. And he went around praying for people. And this one particular guy, he went into him, and the nurse said, he doesn't have very long to live. Just do what you can, pray for him. And the guy was kind of semi-unconscious. He was coming in and out. And the chaplain went over and prayed for him and asked God, you know, prayed for healing and believed that God was doing a miracle in his life. And the next day he came back, the guy was sitting up in bed. The first thing the guy said to the pastor, because he recognized him, he was conscious enough to see him. First thing he said to him, he said, I'm an atheist and you're not going to change my mind. God did a miracle in the guy's life. And there was still nothing but unbelief there. I'm sorry to say, but that's true in the church today. Not that we don't believe in God, but we're not really believing God wants these good things for our life. Unbelief. Second faith is little faith. Matthew 14, again. verse 22 through 31. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Little faith. Now, if all it takes is little faith to get out and walk on the water, can you imagine what we can do with great faith? He rebuked Peter. He said, "Man, you have little faith." And yet Peter was walking on the water because he had enough faith to get out of the boat and move toward Jesus. Sometimes we just have to get out of the boat and start moving toward Jesus. If he's called you to do something, do it. If he's speaking to your heart, listen. Move toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand something. If you just have a little faith and you get out of the boat and you begin to sink, guess what you can do? Cry out to Jesus. And he'll be there to lift you up. It doesn't take great faith to move. Just little faith. Little faith will get us in the right place that Jesus can show up for us when we need him to. He loves us. He cares deeply for us. But he is sick and tired of the church of Jesus Christ, his church, doing nothing but sitting in the pews. And in our case, sitting in the chairs. He is about us doing a work for him. Listen, I really appreciate Mary coming up this morning. I know Mary. She was sitting back there all morning, nervous about coming up here. And probably for days she's been nervous because the Holy Spirit's been speaking to her. She stepped out of a comfort zone to do something that God told her to do. That's where we, you know, that maybe that's just a little bit of faith, but it was enough to bring her up to do God's will and speak to us this morning. That's incredible. I love that stuff. The whole church was blessed because of it. And then God had a plan. We just moved right into that plan. This past week at our life group, I had two different people tell me that God spoke to them about purchasing something for someone that was in need. They heard somebody say, "I didn't have enough money to get this," and they purchased it for that person. You know, that's faith in action. That's what we're looking for around here. Not necessarily, you know, that we're going to see mountains moving all the time. But if we will just take that little bit of faith that we have and put it into action, God shows up. So that little faith is extremely important. I believe little faith can change your life. One of the things we need to recognize from this particular story is Jesus was walking on the water and there was a storm. And what it appears with Peter was when he got out of the boat and started walking to Jesus, that instead of keeping his eyes on the Lord, he started looking around at the storm and the waves that were raging all around him. I'm guilty. You know, sometimes God tells me to get out of the boat and I start walking and then, wow, I start looking at the storm instead of keeping my eyes on Jesus. The storm will take you down. Jesus will lift you up. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. We just got to have faith to believe that. The third thing that I want to talk to you about is found in Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And it's just plain old faith is the way Jesus put it. Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touches me?'" They thought he was a little crazy. You know, all these people were pressing in against him. And Jesus, all of a sudden, Jesus says, "Somebody touched me." But Jesus wasn't saying someone touched me. He was saying, "Somebody touched me that had faith." The virtue went out of him. And as we see this, we see what happened, that because she touched the hem of his garment. Now, this is really important that we just get a real picture of what's going on. Because in Jesus' day, religious leaders walked around. Eddie, will you hand me that, Talit? That prayer shawl. Sorry. I called it a tallit because that's what the Jewish people refer to it as. It's a prayer shawl, basically. If you've seen rabbis at the Wailing Wall, they'll carry this around, and when they pray, they put it over their head and rock back and forth as they're praying. All right. In the Old Testament, Numbers, God commanded the Jewish people to put tassels on their garments. And within that tassel, now this does not have it, but these tassels, they were to put knots. You see these knots? Those knots are supposed to be, throughout this tallit, to be a real Jewish tallit, 613 of them. And the reason for that is because there's 613 laws. And it was a reminder of the law of Moses. Now, originally, God just told them to put it on their clothing. It developed into this. And what would happen is those people who were considered rabbis or religious people would carry these things around with them, wear them over their shoulders. Because it was sort of like a Christian today who would be willing to wear a great big sign on your forehead that says, "I'm a Christian. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ." So that wherever you went, you couldn't deny the fact that you were a believer. Everyone was watching you. Everyone wanted to see your behavior and try to understand what it meant to be a believer. And that's what this was all about. God wanted them to be reminded of who they were in Him by wearing these prayer shawls, and to recognize that they had a responsibility of living out the law every day of their life, wherever they went. Okay? Does it make sense? So this is really, Jesus had this, probably carrying it, most likely. He was walking along like that. See those tassels hanging down? Now, as he walked along, people were bumping up against him. But the lady with the issue of blood, she knew, she believed there was power emanating from Jesus through this. the tassels. She reached out and she grabbed that thing. And when she did, the power of God hit her. And she was healed immediately. Now, it's really interesting that part of what the Jewish tallits have are they're to have a blue thread in them. And today, that's not such a big deal for us. Each one of the tassels had to have a blue thread in it. And that's not such a big deal for us because blue is everywhere today, the color blue. You can, you know, they fabricate blue all over the place. However, in the day of Jesus, there was only one source of blue dye, the Murex clam. And in order to get blue dye from that, they had to extract it out of the body, squeeze the body of the clam. And it took 1,200 clams to make a thimbleful of blue dye. So this was wealthy people. Today, a 1 pound garment blue in that time was priced at about $36,000, $39,000 in our money. So the blue that was in there was very significant. God told them, you know, the reason they put it there was to set them apart so that people would recognize that they were serving the living God. And when she reached out and grabbed that tassel, she knew exactly what she was doing. She was reaching for the power of God. And when she reached, she received. God is calling, you know, that's just normal faith. We're supposed to be reaching for the power of God. Reaching and receiving. Faith like that will cause healing. It'll cause deliverance. It'll cause the power of God to be released in this place and in your life. Just normal faith. Amen. Last thing I want to talk about is great faith. Matthew chapter 8. Amen. Do you feel like your faith is being built? Any this morning? Encouraged? I sure hope so. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion man came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you, that many will come from the east and the west and sit down, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The sons, he was talking about the Jewish people. They're going to be cast out because they're not believing in the Messiah. And yet this man, who was a Gentile, he had greater faith than any of the Jewish people that Jesus had encountered. Now, you know, Jesus, that Jewish woman that was healed, hallelujah, she had faith. But Jesus said this was great faith. What makes it great faith is because this man knew that he realized the power of the spoken word of God. And when Jesus spoke something, he didn't have to lay hands on somebody. He didn't have to touch the situation. He didn't even have to be present with that person. All he had to do was speak the word, and it became life. power was in spoken word. The power is in the spoken word for you today. How do you stir your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Being here, hearing the word, reading the word, memorizing the word, meditating on the word. The word will change your life. It'll build up your faith. It'll cause you to be one that can walk with mountain-moving faith, because you're going to believe in the spoken word of God. When the enemy comes and says, no, that's not going to happen, you can say, just like Jesus did, get behind me, because it is written. Amen? Jesus took stripes on his back that I might be healed. Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to set the captives free. When we know that, when we believe the word, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to tell us. It doesn't matter what any atheist or any humanist tries to try to tell us. The reality is, in our heart, we know what the word of God says, and we believe it, and mountains will depart. Amen. Hallelujah. This word here, great, it definitely means a quantity, an indefinite amount or number, a large number. His faith was great because he believed the spoken word was so powerful. Today, I believe that's what we have to. If we want mountain-moving faith, we've got to believe in the Word of God. We've got to believe that hearing the Word will build our faith. And we've got to continue to put that Word inside of us and recite that Word and memorize that Word. Faith comes by hearing. And then faith comes by doing. Once you've got some faith, then you better get out there and do something with it. Sitting in here and being a spiritual fat cat is not going to do it. We've got to get outside and do something with this faith that we have. I'm preaching this message to you this morning so that you'll take this faith that builds up inside of you and you'll go out there tomorrow and touch somebody's life because of it. There's power as you go forth. His power is available to his people. I know I keep saying this, but I want us to get the reality. James told us that if you have faith and I have works, I'll show you my faith without, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So he said, you know, having that faith stirred inside of you is good, but you got to do something with it. You got to move out and apply it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Hallelujah. I want us all to grow into mountain-moving faith. But we're not all going to be there at the same time. It's okay. We're on this journey together. And when I'm weak in faith, you can build me up. When you're weak in faith, I can build you up. We can just encourage and lift each other up. But I want you to understand how important it is. This morning, Pastor Eddie talked about the life groups and encouraged people to get involved. And we just continue to encourage that, because the reason we're encouraging that, because you get your faith built up here, that's wonderful. But if you come to life groups, you connect with people. You connect with people who, when you're down, they can lift you up. And when you're up, you can lift somebody else up. You can encourage each other with the Word of God. You know, the reality is, I believe the Word of God tells us that God wants us to mount up with wings as eagles, to run and not grow weary, and walk and not faint. Listen, the people in this church, they're eagles. You need to hang around with them. Get away from those turkeys that you're hanging with. Spend some time with the eagles of God. I read a story about a farmer who found a little eagle. And he brought it to his farm, and he had it growing up with his chickens and turkeys. And as it grew, it got larger and larger, but the thing thought it was a turkey or a chicken. So it pecked around in the farmyard. Every once in a while, it would hear an eagle fly by, and you know, it would look up, and the farmer said it was as if it was thinking, there's something wrong here. And one day, a guy from the mountains came down. He said, man, that's a shame to have that beautiful bird in your barnyard. Why don't you take it up to the mountains and release it? He said, well, I think I'll do that. And he gathered up the bird, and he took it, and he went high into the mountains where the eagles were, and he set it on a stump, and he watched the bird. And the eagles were flying all over the place, crying out to each other, talking to each other, flying all over the place. And that eagle just watched and watched. He didn't fly. So the farmer took him back home. He did this for several days. And then about the 10th day, as the eagle sat there and he watched these other birds flying around, he spread his mighty wings and he took off. And he flew into the sky like an eagle was supposed to do, because he could see when he once he was brought into a place where he could associate with the right kind of birds, he became a mighty eagle instead of a turkey or a chicken. God wants us to fellowship together, to be strong, to recognize the power of God in each other's lives so that we can build each other up. He wants us to mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. That's His destiny for you. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.